There you go.
We have a new mic, but so whatever we have on that mic is still there, but I have no idea
how long into it
gave out.
Oh,
so
okay.
We can just continue with the interview and whatever we have. Okay. No, we just continue.
Okay, did you feel like you were prepared for Drake? Why or why not?
Yes, I was very prepared, I think. In a small town, I had very good teachers, and I was challenged in high school, but I met all of those challenges. It was fun to be top of the class, and there was a high expectation in my family that I work hard and that I do what I needed to do to succeed. And so certainly college was different than high school, and it took me a little bit of time to adjust because classes were so much bigger, and it was a different, you know, environment. I felt I was ready for college.
Working in college, did you feel any stress from home, or was your motivation to work hard in college personal?
I would say it was personal, but my work ethic came from my dad. And again, you have to think back to what life was like in those days. My dad did not have a college education. He didn't have a high school education. He basically had an eighth grade education. He worked hard, he succeeded, he became president of the bank in town. But I always, from the very beginning, was taught that you have to do the very best you can do. If you do the very best you can do, then nobody can ask any more of you. If you don't do the best you can do, then you have no one to blame but yourself. So I guess, and my parents, particularly my dad, had an attitude of, okay, you've gone off to college, you're on your own, this is your life, you make your decisions, we're here for you if you need us, but it's not my job to run around after you and tell you what to do. Now you've reached the point in life where you do have to make your own decisions.
What clubs or organizations were you involved in at Drake, if any?
Oh, that's a long time ago. I would tell you off the top of my head, I don't remember which ones. I was involved, but I don't remember.
One thing we found in a yearbook was the Newman Club.
Oh, yes. The Newman Club, I was Catholic, and so the Newman Club basically was an organization for Catholic students, again, to not only help us stay connected with the church, but again, to provide some connection with other students so that we didn't feel like we were the only ones there or that we were left out of anything.
We also read that you were on the judicial board for Carpenter Hall.
Yes.
We were wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Basically, that meant that if students got into trouble, and of course Carpenter was a women's dorm, if women got into trouble, didn't make curfew, or did something else that was unacceptable, they were basically censored for that. And then if they appealed that decision, then the judicial board made the final decision with regard to their penalty and their violation.
Did your time on the judicial board help you at all with your proceeding to law school?
I don't know that it helped me particularly, other than it was consistent. I made the decision that I wanted to go to law school when I was 15. Kind of a strange decision in the sense that my mother wanted me to be a beauty operator. My dad wanted me to be college educated. And, you know, in a small town, everybody knows everything, right? When I thought, well, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, I ran out of things to do, and I thought, oh, I'll be a lawyer. And the minute that word spread, it was, oh, well, John's daughter's going to be a lawyer, so that pretty much took care of that. So, but as I progressed in my education, particularly after law school, yeah, I made the right choice.
From year to year, did you ever think of leaving Drake?
Never.
Never. Are there any memories of your bachelor's graduation ceremony?
I would say probably the only thing I remember, it was just a big deal to be dressed up in a robe and everything and to, you know, go through the ceremony. I don't remember anything in particular. I just remember that it was a momentous occasion because now it was official. I had graduated.
So once you received your bachelor's degree, you decided to go to law school, and you went to Drake's law school. How did you decide on going to law school at Drake versus other schools?
I would tell you again, it was probably part of my decision when I chose Drake was, oh, they have a law school, so that sort of kind of pushed it over the edge. It never occurred to me, just as I didn't think really seriously about any other colleges and schools, I didn't think seriously about any other law schools either. I mean, I loved my time at Drake. I felt really connected to Drake. It was, oh, now I'm going to start taking classes in a different building and I'm going to be in a different situation, but it never occurred to me not to be at Drake.
In your time that you worked towards receiving your law degree, is there anything that stood out to you in your schooling, like classes or professors or friendships besides your older brothers?
Yes. Two experiences that I guess I would share with you. My first year in Drake's Law School, and again, I'm the only girl in the room and, you know, all the guys are there, and we had a class taught by this particular law professor who stood at the front of the room and that's how he lectured. So none of us past the first row could hear what he was saying. We didn't have a clue. And on this particular summer day in the fall, the windows were open, and in those days, Cole Hall was the law building, and so the windows were open, and he was kind of leaning up against the wall next to the windows, and he had his book in his hand, and he was kind of going, and all of a sudden it was silence, and we were kind of all looking at each other, and then the next thing we heard was, we realized he'd fallen asleep during his own lecture. And we didn't quite know what to do. We just all kind of sat there and we kind of looked at each other and like, you know, and then finally one of the guys moved his chair and the floor was linoleum and the chairs were metal. And so he moved his chair and it scraped and the professor went, and we thought, how's he even know where he is in the lecture? I mean, you know, not that any of us could tell because we couldn't hear him anyway. So that was one of my fun experiences. Again, in my first semester at Drake Law School, and actually it was also in my second semester, but in my first semester, law school was so different than my undergraduate and then high school. And suddenly I wasn't top of my class anymore. And it was kind of like, uh-oh, this isn't going well. And I felt the pressure being the only girl in the room and a lot of things. And it was like, well, girls don't, you know, you'll go home and get married and you will never practice law. And so it really won't matter and that kind of stuff. And so one of my law professors was a practicing lawyer who was teaching sort of part-time at Drake. And I was so discouraged and I was thinking, well, maybe I'm going to drop out of law school and because I'm not perfect anymore. And I went in to talk to him, and he said, Luann, I tell you what, why don't you stay one more semester, the fall semester, the fall of the following year. Why don't you stay one more semester? And then if you don't like it, then you can go home, okay? Well, then that took the pressure off. And so then everything went fine. And actually, that was my second semester in law school, so it was the spring semester. And because, again, he gave me permission to go home if I, you know, things didn't go well. So I didn't feel stress. I just kept doing what I was doing. And then suddenly things started coming together. And then it never occurred to me to leave again. So he was a good role model in basically saying, you know, don't worry about it. You know, and he just took the pressure off and it worked out great.
What do you remember about your graduation with your law degree, graduation ceremony?
Again, it was very special because you have the hooding ceremony and it's, you feel like you've taken one more step and you're older and you're a little bit nervous because you're starting your career, and yet you're excited because you finished your college career successfully. And I don't know, there were three students in my graduating class that were part-time people. They were older and they were kind of, you know, going to law school part-time while they were doing other things in their life. So again, kind of the perspective, all of us that were, you know, traditional college-age law students, we had a real connection. It was sort of like, gee, our parents are here too, and that was kind of strange. So we kind of had a, I don't know, it was special that we all graduated together, but most of us were excited about going into the practice of law and starting our careers.
What did you do after you received your law degree from Drake?
I practiced here in the city of Des Moines. I became the city prosecutor out in West Des Moines. I practiced law in the city of Des Moines. And again, I was the only single woman at that time in the practice of law in the greater metropolitan area. So when I'd walk into the courtroom, all of the judges knew who I was, which was a real advantage because I'd walk into the courtroom and the judge would say, "Hi, Luann, how are you?" And I'd say, "I'm fine, Your Honor. How are you?" "Just fine." And then he'd look at maybe one of my classmates that hadn't been in the courtroom yet or something, and he'd look at the guy and he'd say, "Who the hell are you?" And they were like, "Whoa!" And how did Luann, you know, this happen? Well, yeah, I mean, and I really enjoyed being in the courtroom because you had to think quickly on your feet. You had to make sure you asked the right questions so that you didn't get the wrong answer and get knocked up against the wall. So, it was a good experience.
So after practicing law, at what point did you decide to return to Drake to teach?
I'd been practicing law, I can't remember now, it was 5 or 6 years. I don't remember exactly how long it was, but it was 5 years or more. And I got a phone call 2 days before classes started one fall from my accounting professor who had become dean of the College of Business. And he called me and he said, "Luann, I'm really in a bind. I need someone to teach a couple of business law classes for me. Is there any way that you could do that to help me out?" And I said, "Oh, sure. How tough can teaching be?" And so I said, "Where do I get the book?" And he said, "In the bookstore." And so I went to the bookstore. I bought the book. I think we had the conversation on Friday. He told me where the class was on Monday. I showed up in the class. It was in a building that they've since torn down. I had two sections. I had, I think, about 125 kids in each section. And I just fell in love with teaching. I really enjoyed it. And I think my practice of law was a good foundation for me. Students didn't intimidate me, and I had fun with it. So after the first year, he came back to me and he said, "Luann, how would you like to do this full time?" And I thought, yeah, you know what, I really would. And I went back to my law partner and I said, "Nick, we both know I can't do it all. You know, trying to teach part-time and trying to practice, that was a lot of stress, and, you know, I didn't feel like I was doing the best job in either one. So I quit the practice of law and started teaching full-time, and I've been here ever since.
So you are the current Faculty Senate President.
Yes.
And I understand that you've been in that position before.
Yes.
How is it different from just being a regular professor and being the Faculty Senate President?
Well, I guess I'd tell you I'm still a regular professor. I think being Faculty Senate President, and I've done a lot of things outside the classroom in my career at Drake, I like the fact that I do get outside the classroom. I get outside my building. I'm part of a university. I'm not just in a college. And I think that that's really important. I think we are a university, and there are a lot of things I'm interested in. For example, I know this is going to sound strange to you, but I've been an assistant dean, I've been an associate dean, I've been executive assistant to the president, I've been an interim vice president of advancement. There have been a lot of jobs that I've held, but I've never given up the classroom. So whatever I've done, yes, I've stayed in the classroom, but I've done these other experiences part-time. And all of those other experiences, I think, helped me understand the university. So when I'm Faculty Senate President, I do have, I think, a pretty good perspective of the university. I stay connected throughout the university. And the Senate basically is the opportunity for faculty to set the academic structure, programs, basically control the academic environment at the university. And I think that that's really important.
So you enjoy doing both?
I do, very much.
If you had to do anything, like, if you had to do it again, would you do anything differently?
Actually, I would tell you no. On any given day, I might make a bad decision. But in the grand scheme of things, at the end of the day, I still love teaching. I'm glad I gave up the practice to teach. I'm glad I practiced law as long as I did. I'm glad I've had all of the experiences I've had. I wouldn't trade that variety of experience for anything. So, yeah, I'm happy.
What is the most significant way Drake has shaped your life?
I think probably because Drake has given me the opportunity to do so many different things. And again, Drake has given me the opportunity to do all of those things. So I think the fact that Drake has that attitude, I'm not limited to just one particular thing. Oh, she can't do anything outside of the business law classroom. And providing those opportunities, I think that's made me who I am.
Do you have any words of advice for today's graduating seniors?
Actually, I probably do, and I tell this to my advisees also. Have the courage to make a decision, but if it turns out to be a bad decision, have the courage to make another decision. I really don't understand people who make a bad decision, and again, you don't always know everything that's going to happen, so you make the best decision you can at any point in time, given whatever information you have. Well, then, as you're in that position now, maybe things don't work out for a variety of reasons. But it really does boggle my mind that people make career decisions or make life decisions, they're absolutely miserable, and then they don't have the courage to make another decision. So, yeah, I tell my students, have the courage to make another decision, you know, because that next decision could really dramatically change your life and make you happy.
Sure. Going back to the dress code, you said that you always followed the dress code?
I think I did.
Yeah, but it seemed like you are getting it that people didn't follow the dress code, right?
Say again.
People are not following the dress code. Like, did people not follow the dress code?
Oh, were there people who did
yeah.
not? Yeah, I probably.
Yeah. Do you know what happened to them or on campus?
You know, I honestly don't remember. That isn't the kind of thing, I guess, that really left a lasting impression on me.
Okay. Were you involved in any sororities?
No.
Were you happy that you didn't do any sororities, or do you wish that you did now that you're in the position?
I don't think I wish that I did, and probably the reason I didn't go out for Rush like my first roommate did. And then when her experience was so bad, I thought, oh, I don't think I want to do that. And so I just never took the opportunity. Now, today, I'm faculty advisor for one of the fraternities, and I have been since that chapter was formed. I think that whatever choices people make in their lives, those are their choices. And I don't think anybody gives me the right to question somebody else's decision. So what other people do, again, their choice brings consequences to them. And so I guess I try to be supportive of their choices, even though some of those choices are not the choices that I would make. Again, because those choices might not be right for me.
Have you kept up with any of the other friends at Drake besides that one that lived across the hall?
Oh, yes. Some of my friends from law school, we still stay in touch. I would say, unfortunately, some of my friends from undergraduate are no longer alive. And I don't know, I think, too, you kind of go on with your lives and you move in different directions. And a lot of my friends moved away. Some of them are in Colorado. Some of them, you know, are in Illinois. They're kind of scattered. So we don't really have a chance to see each other very much. So, yeah, and I think, you know, you make new friends and you make new connections and life kind of just moves on.
After your first year in the dorms, do you remember where you stayed for your second year?
I was always in Carpenter. Once I moved into that room at the end of the hall in Carpenter, I don't remember the number, but I can take you to it and show it to you. That was always my room for the rest of my career at Drake as a college student. So I just stayed in that same room the rest of the time.
Did you like living in the dorms for all 4 years, or would you rather live in an apartment?
No, I liked living in the dorms for all 4 years because, again, I liked the connection. I had friends, and even though some of my friends moved out, but then new people moved in, and, you know, I enjoyed meeting new people. There was something also kind of nice. I mean, it was really convenient. You know, Carpenter is right across the bridge from Hubble, so going to and from meals was a no-brainer. It was convenient. I liked the common areas so that, you know, you could sit around in front of the TV and talk, or you could, you know, it was just, you know, there was a lot of social interaction, if you will, so it was comfortable.
Did you have Drake relays when you were a student, or were they not there yet?
No, they were there.
They were there?
Yeah. I probably, when in those days, I don't think I was all that sports-minded because I really didn't know a lot about sports. So I would do things more kind of to go with my friends and do things, not because I felt driven on my own to do them.
But did you have any memories from the Drake relays, like that whole week leading up to it?
I guess I would tell you probably my memories just, wow, there are a lot of people around here, and they're, you know, wow, there are a lot of people. I mean, it was just that, wow, there are a lot of people. Wow, there are a lot of people. I mean, it was just, and it was fun, and everybody was excited, and it had a different atmosphere, and that was fun too.
You said you lived in Carpenter and it has that bridge. In the winter, did that pose any problems for you or other people?
No, because I would tell you, remember, I grew up in southern Minnesota, so I went south. And so it would always kind of strike me as funny when, you know, my friends would complain about the horrible weather. And you know, and then I grew up in southern Minnesota, and there would be times when you'd have to hang a flag on the antenna of your car because the drifts were so high you couldn't see anybody at an intersection or anything else. So no, I never had any problems on campus in the winter.
Where did you live when you were in law school?
That's a really good question. I started in an apartment over on Ingersoll, and let's just say that it was not the most hygienically friendly apartment, and I decided that since I was paying for the rent, I really didn't want a lot of four-legged or multi-legged creatures living with me, even though I could step on some of them. My dad came down and helped me, and we found a third floor apartment. It was a house. There was a couple that lived on the first floor. They owned it. There was a very mature little old lady living on the second floor. She was very nice, very friendly. So it was kind of like having my grandmother there. And then I had the third floor apartment. And it was clean. It was closer to Drake. I got a garage for my car, and it was just a really, really nice environment. So again, I had the courage to move out of a not so pleasant environment into a very perfect environment.
So you've lived in Des Moines since you received your law degree. Is there anything about Des Moines as a city that attracted you here besides Drake?
No, not really. And I've been really fortunate. In fact, we had a conversation the other day after a meeting. Some of my friends here, you know, they were talking about, well, I've only got two states left to see, okay? I've been in all 50 states, and many of them numerous times. And part of that is because of my dad, because he thought it was important that, you know, we get outside Lakefield, Minnesota. So he would take us on trips and, you know, whether we went to the Black Hills or whether we went to Yellowstone or whether we went to Florida, but I got to see a lot. I've also been fortunate in that I've had the opportunity to travel around the world. And so one of my favorite trips was from Budapest to Amsterdam. Another one was from St. Petersburg to Moscow. And I think that all of that has really helped me maybe get a better understanding I don't know, just feel more comfortable that not everybody in the world looks like I do, talks like I do, thinks like I do, and that's a really good thing. So
is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. If you don't have any more questions, I'm probably done.